relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to the America First review of the year with the very, very best guests, analysis, and the things that you said you wanted to hear again. We have to discuss perhaps the greatest failure of the year of the Biden administration, which is, of course, Afghanistan, the surrender to the Taliban, the withdrawal from a country that hosted bin Laden prior to 9/11. On the day of the explosion that killed 13 American servicemen and women, we managed to connect to a former operator, an amazing man, Chad Robershaw, who, after the surrender, rescued thousands of people trapped in Afghanistan, Americans who had been abandoned by their administration. And we, incredibly, managed to connect with Chad as he was on the ground in Kabul just after that horrific event, the needless killing of 13 brave men and women. And here is just a sample of our discussion with Chad and a reminder of what President Trump had to say about that benighted region. Stay with us for much more here on America First with our year in review.
Consequences of a rapid exit are both predictable and unacceptable. 9/11, the worst terrorist attack in our history, was planned and directed from Afghanistan because that country was ruled by a government that gave comfort and shelter to terrorists. A hasty withdrawal would create a vacuum that terrorists, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda, would instantly fill, just as happened before September 11th.
Remarkably. Truly remarkably, that was 4 years ago. That was my former boss, then Commander-in-Chief President Trump, warning the world in 2017 what would happen if there were a hasty withdrawal from Afghanistan. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First. We have lost 13 warfighters. We have lost a dozen Marines and a corpsman. And we are here to give you an update on the situation with the best guests and straight away with somebody who's actually in theater right now as we speak. 8 tours, force recon with the Marines. You know me, I love the Marines. Spent 2.5 years on faculty at Quantico. This man has worked for JSOC, Special Operations Command, Joint Special Operations Command, and he is back in theater to save those who worked with us and also stranded Americans. Chad Robershaw, welcome to America First.
Thanks so much for having me on, Sebastian.
Chad, give us a sit rep, an unclassified low side sit rep on what is the situation like in Kabul? How chaotic, how much of an intelligence vacuum are we working in as Americans?
Well, you know, it's even if you were able to see it, it's not something you could comprehend, you know, unless you could actually be there. And you've seen those environments before. I mean, everybody's seen the video of the woman handing her baby up to the Marines to carry it over. But what we hadn't seen is the multiple bodies of babies that parents tried to throw over the concertina wire to get in, and they got tangled in the concertina wire and bled out, and their bodies are up there just strung up still. And you know, it's so horrific. So many people so desperate to get in. And the defense, and the problem we have, there's so many problems. We could spend hours in here talking, but the problem we have is the White House took the NEO operation, the non-combatant evacuation operation, away from the Department of Defense where it belongs, and gave it to the State Department. And the State Department has used our military like embassy guards. They've treated it like an embassy and not allowed the United States military in a conventional role to rescue Americans, to rescue our allies, 10,000, maybe 30,000, for I've heard different estimations of how many Americans are there still right now. And they've gave this to the State Department that has no idea or understanding how to execute this type of operation.
Chad.
Chad,
I heard today, tell me if this, after what you just said, of the evacuation mission being taken from the military and given to the State Department that has no idea what it's doing, I was informed today that the decision to sacrifice Bagram, 32 acres, two runways, able to have 21 C-17s waiting for airlift, that decision was made by the State Department. Is that does that sound feasible to you?
Yes, I'm pretty well informed of that as well. I mean, first of all, I don't believe that we ever should have left Bagram Air Force Base. It was this most strategic global point in the planet today's world between Iraq, Iran, China, Russia. We gave it up, saying that we were a long term war when we're not in a long term war. We still have 80,000 troops in Japan, 40,000 in Germany, 30,000 in South Korea. Why did we need to give this up when it was working? But we gave it up. And we moved our military out before we moved our civilians out without even warning them. And we forfeited Bagram Air Force Base. Central Command saw the Taliban coming. They said, let's drop. They were going to jump the 82nd Airborne in to hold Bagram Air Force Base so it could be a place to remove our equipment, to withhold, to keep an airstrip open so we can move civilians out. And the White House advised the State Department to shut that operation down. Central Command was shut down, and the 82nd Airborne was not able to hold that base. And that was confirmed by President Biden. He did confirm that himself.
The most egregious strategic mistake possibly in the modern history of American warfare, at least for generations. Let's talk about your mission. I'm very grateful to my colleagues Phil and Zena for connecting us. What is saveourallies.org, and what are you doing right now in theater, Chad?
During my deployments to Afghanistan, I didn't operate conventionally. I worked with the Afghan people. I lived out in the community, and I had one team member on all eight of my deployments. I could probably say his name now in my books. I wrote his name to be differently, but now I can openly say his name. Aziz is his name, and Aziz, his wife, and six kids. I was determined, as this crumbled, that I had to go and save him. And so I began an effort to go and get my interpreter, Aziz, my friend, who I love dearly, and I was going to go get him. I started assembling some of my old special operations buddies. We raised the money, and we were going to get him. But then we realized that he didn't only need help, so many others. And we heard of these 3,000 orphans. And so we quickly made a relationship with a foreign government and a foreign military here in the Middle East. They agreed to work with us and let us utilize their military and resources. We set up a joint operations command center here in the Middle East, as well as in Washington, D.C. And we've been when we put guys on the ground in Kabul. And we've been, and for the last 7 days, we rapidly deployed and been executing rescue missions, getting people under the base, to the airstrip, and getting them out to this foreign country. We've got 5,289.
How many have you saved already?
5,289.
5,000. With how many people? How big is your team, Chad?
There's eight of us.
Unbelievable. God bless you. You're doing God's work. Who are these orphans? Why are they orphaned?
Many of the orphans that we were able to save were widows and children of former Afghan National Army commandos or interpreters that served with us. That's how we had the contact with knowing who they were and to go after them and pursue them. And so many of the people we got were orphans, widows, American citizens, and a lot of the SIV applicants who are interpreters. That's primarily who we're going after.
Okay, so I know what you're doing. You have the intel. You're an operator. You know who you're saving. But I have to tell you this, and I want your reaction. 100,000 Afghans have flooded into America on those C-17s. It is my information that the vast majority, over 90% of them, have nothing to do with working with America, are not SIVs. They're just people who managed to get over the wire and were shipped to America with zero vetting. Is that what you are seeing? I'm not talking about the people you're saving. I'm talking about the 100,000 who were shipped to us in the last 10 days.
Yeah, a lot of our guys have witnessed that. We were very strategic. We got thousands of emails that came in as soon as I started talking about this in the news, and we quickly realized we needed to set up a Joint Operations Command Center in Washington, D.C. to receive those emails, to process those emails, to build a rescue target sheets. So we kind of triaged and categorized, and so they would pump that information to us here in the Middle East. We build rescue lists and coordinate those link-ups and put the right people on the plane. What we've seen from other efforts was them landing a plane, opening the door, and just mass loading people into the plane. And so I would say from our observation is they were not as strategic as we were at putting vetted people onto those planes.
Chad, thank you for your 8 tours. Thank you for the God's work you are doing with your 8-man team right now. 5,000 people saved who deserve to be saved, not the disaster of what the State Department is doing. Support this man at saveourallies.org. That's saveourallies.org. He's doing it with 8 people. This is a disaster. But with more Chads, America will be safe and we will keep our promises. Follow him at Chad Robo. That's Chad Robichaud at Chad Robo. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. There was a story last year after the quote-unquote election of Joe Biden that wasn't covered by the mainstream media. And it was, of course, the reversal of all the policies we put in place when we were in the Trump administration, including securing the border. After lies, after hiding the truth, we had an idea with my producer. We said, let's go and see for ourselves. I bought a camera, we got some plane tickets, and on the invitation of Sheriff Mark Lamb, we traveled to the border to see for ourselves. This is our discussion with Sheriff Lamb after we got back from the unbelievable fact-finding mission and the truth that you need to know about the tragedy on our southern border. Unbelievable reporting. This is from Hot Air. Title 42 of the United States Code, Section 265, that allows the border control officials to expel persons who have recently come across the border because there is a COVID pandemic in the country, is quietly being rescinded by the Biden administration this week. How does that affect all of us, not just those living on the border? Let's talk to a man who was an incredibly gracious host to us when we went down to Pinal County to see what's happening under his control in that county, and also came on my Newsmax show. Sheriff Mark Lamb, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. And you were an awesome guest as well, so we appreciated having you.
We are very impressed how you managed to wrangle a rattlesnake at the end of our visit as well. We weren't quite prepared for you to fire off that AR-15 without our earplugs in, but you got it. You got that rattler.
It took a couple days for my ears to come back.
By the way, guys, this, Sheriff Lamb, straight out of Central Casting, the lantern jaw, the big hat, the goatee, when he met us in the morning, said, I'm not afraid of anyone. The only thing I'm afraid of is snakes. And what do we come across? A rattler. And he nails it and then tells us, that's the first snake I've ever seen. It was a fun day, all told. Amazing interview. Amazing stuff on tape. One thing we haven't even aired yet from your interviews with us, Sheriff Lamb, is what you said about this mystical thing, Title 42. Explain why it was so important to you and your deputies when the Trump administration enacted it, and then tell us what happens when it gets rescinded this week by Biden.
Yeah, for those not listening, I'll give a very quick synopsis of what Title 42 is. In March of 2020, amidst the pandemic with COVID, the president issued Title 42, which allowed Border Patrol and ICE to remove people from the country because of COVID. And that's really what they've been working under this last year, especially now that the Biden administration has taken over and they're They're wanting everybody to come here and open borders. Title 42 has still allowed Border Patrol agents and ICE agents to remove people because of COVID. We've been ruling the day that they were going to take this away, and now, of course, they want to do it quietly because they don't want to catch any heat for it. But them taking this away is going to take away that one last thing that those Border Patrol and ICE agents have. Now what you're going to get is everybody's going to be being released into our communities, into different states, and that is, if we didn't already have a catastrophic situation already, this is only going to exasperate it even more.
For those who didn't hear the interview on our radio show, who didn't see it on our Newsmax show a couple of weeks ago, please explain your situation, because Pinal County isn't actually on the border. But why is the change in the border regime under Biden so affecting you, your deputies, and the people of your county, Sheriff?
Yeah, we've always dealt with immigration issues. Obviously, under the Trump administration, I'm not just saying this politically, it got much better. We were having a lot of success because they were listening to us. They were working with us. We're 60 to 70 miles off the border, and what to the south of us is the Native American reservation. And there is no wall down there. It's just three strands of barbed wire fence and maybe some Normandy barrier and some other places. So what has happened with the Biden administration is, with all this talk of open borders, with unaccompanied minors, with all of these people showing up from all these countries, they're bogging the border down, and the cartel loves it, and the cartel is responsible for a lot of it. They're bogging the border and the ICE agents and the Border Patrol agents down, and it's leaving wide open the desert areas coming into communities like mine and counties like mine. So we've seen at least 100% increase in traffic. I mean, just 2 days ago, we had 23 apprehensions and one rescue. Yesterday, 29 apprehensions. This is every day we go out. And that's only talking about the humans. Now we talk about all the fentanyl and the drugs and all that, the methamphetamine they're bringing into our communities. The numbers would blow the Americans' minds if they knew exactly what kind of impact this was having on America.
Our sources here at America First have told us, two separate sources, that the Customs and Border Patrol, good guys, the agents that are just trying to do their job, have come to term, Joe Biden, let them go, Joe. Can you confirm that the administration is, unless there's some, heinous criminal record, that the guy you catch, the smuggler, you can demonstrate. If that's not the case, basically these people come in the country and then they're just allowed to stay here, Sheriff.
That's right. And, I almost don't even want to know when we catch them. We're working with Border Patrol. What they do with them after, and this kills the Border Patrol agents and the ICE agents too. They're just as frustrated as we are, and the rest of America is. But the majority of them are probably just being released with a court date to come back to Texas or Arizona in 2 or 3 weeks. And I think everybody listening here knows good and darn well these folks aren't going to come back. They're not going to show up to court. They're in the country. They've achieved what they wanted to achieve. And it's not fair to the American public. And frankly, it's not fair to those people either. You're just throwing them out into a country that they have no idea how to live, where to stay, and you're shipping them all across to different states. I could go on and on. This is a disastrous situation. And this presidency, not only do they not have a grip on it, they are throwing gasoline on the fire. And it has to be intentional. I just don't know any other way to explain it.
Well, they've forsaken you and your colleagues in the last minute we have with you. Follow this man at Sheriff Lamb 1, Sheriff Mark Lamb of Pinal County. You have initiated a coming together of sheriffs in America. What is your website and how can people support you?
Yes, thank you. It's Protect America Now, sheriffs from across the country coming together, and you can check it out at protectamericanow.com. We, the sheriffs, we realize we are the last line of defense for freedom. So we are standing up for the rule of law. We're going to stand against bad policies like what you're seeing with our immigration and what they're trying to do with Second Amendment and so many other things. And we are going to protect the people's constitutional rights and the constitution of this country. And I hope that your listeners will join us, protectamericanow.com, as we stand up against this craziness that we're going through and living through right now that is being instituted by this administration So yeah, we would love their support.
I have to say, after what a certain administration did to the FBI, to federal law enforcement and the intelligence community, we've lost faith in them, and there is at least, thank the good Lord, the sheriff system across the nation, and good men like Sheriff Mark Lamb are indeed one of the last lines of defense. What better way to celebrate the year than have examples of what my wife calls the parents' revolt? Parents, some teachers waking up to the insanity of what's happening in our schools. And here's a montage from Mr. GR producer of the very best rants from Americans who are taking back this country, one school board at a time.
I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers, recruiting children to go to the courthouse, to protest Black Lives Matters, when you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are bastards. Really? All cops are bastards? No, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let you do that. I will become your worst nightmare, because I'm going to stand here and keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. No, I don't think so. This won't be the last of me. I want everyone to know what's going on, because you're hiding it. You're hiding it. You know who does that? Communists do that.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Let me educate you. An honest dialogue does not oppress. An honest dialogue does not implement hatred or injustice. It's to communicate without deceiving people. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action in the backbone for what we asked for today, to ban CRT. We don't want your political advertisement to divide our children or belittle them. Think twice before you indoctrinate such racist theories. You cannot tell me what is or is not racist. Look at me. I had to come down here today to tell you to your face that we are coming together and we are strong. This will not be the last. Greet and meet, respectfully.
Now, you snowflakes apparently have a bigger problem with public comment. It seems to me that you think you can supersede the United States Constitution. Well, I've got news for you, school board president Benito Mussolini. Your power does not supersede that of the US Constitution and the First Amendment rights of the citizens of this great nation. Let's be very, very clear who has the power.
Mr.
It is
Campbell,
not government policy. Do not warn me or do not interrupt my time.
CRT is not racial sensitivity or simply teaching unfavorable American history or teaching Jim Crow history. CRT is deeper and more dangerous than that. CRT and its outworking today is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist, and saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well.
I'm a Fairfax County public school teacher, and I'm going to give a message of encouragement to parents and teachers and students who are too afraid to come and speak forward. Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up, because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement, and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors.
You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you are some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a lot of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. Raise the freaking bar.
We chose you to make decisions that would be in our children's best interest, and forcing 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9-year-old little children to cover their noses and their mouths where they breathe for 7 hours a day, every day for the last 9 months for a virus that you know doesn't affect them. That is not in their best interest. And this has to stop. Defend our children. My 6-year-old can't come up here and say this. It has to stop. Take these off of our children.
I have 3 children in this district, okay? My oldest goes with her friends and they do buddy trips to the bathroom. This is what you have caused through your lack of inaction and protection. Disgusted with all of you.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, the ideologues, the senile people in the White House, we found out last year that we have the most senior military officer, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, well, creating a back channel to our greatest enemy, Communist China. And when I heard this, I lost it. And here is my take on the coward and the traitor who is Mark Milley.
Blockbuster, shocking, tectonic accusations that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs colluded with Communist China, with their general staff, and called them to ensure that China would not be attacked, and that Mark Milley was interposing himself in the chain of command of the United States, thus negating the principle of civilian control of our armed forces that we have had from the beginning of the establishment of our republic and the position of president, chief executive, and commander-in-chief. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. The accusations were outlandish, coming as they do from a book that isn't even released yet, co-authored by Bob Woodward, who has been irrelevant for the last 40 years, has published books that are based upon supposition and tissues of lies, because this man has no access, especially to a conservative administration like President Trump's. But like those broken clocks that are right twice a day, it seems that this story, that General Milley, 2 days after the events of January the 6th, called up General Li of the People's Liberation Army of Communist China to assure them that he would give them a heads up if President Trump, his commander, decided to attack China, is the definition of giving aid and support to our enemies. It is the textbook legal definition of treason. Earlier today, the office of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who, let's be clear here, for those who are not wonks in the swamp, who haven't spent decades in national security, we have a peculiar system in the United States. What you just heard from Kirby, the chief of the defense staff, is a lie. We do not have a senior uniformed officer in the chain of command like other nations do. The Constitution is crystal clear America has one commander-in-chief. It's not the Speaker of the House. It's not the leader of the Senate. It's not the Secretary of Agriculture. The commander-in-chief is the incumbent civilian president. You can't have a general as president. It is the civilian elected head of state that commands all of our national military assets, from the latest in Space Force to the Coast Guard, to our special forces. All of them, paramilitaries in the intelligence services, all of them are under the command of one man, a civilian. That man, as commander-in-chief, orders his Secretary of Defense to execute any operation. If we go to war, it is the president who tells the Secretary of Defense. It is the Secretary of Defense that communicates those orders to the service chiefs. Nowhere in that line, nowhere in that organogram, nowhere in that chain of command is somebody called the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. According to the United States Constitution, to the National Security Act, to every aspect of our federal code, to the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs has no combatant authority. Zero. None. He is the military advisor to the president. Advisor. He can give advice that is heeded or ignored by the commander-in-chief. He is irrelevant. He is extraneous to the chain of command. His imposing himself into the chain of command is a crime to be punished by court martial. According to the reports from this book, on January the 8th, 2 days after the riots on Capitol Hill, General Mark Milley called General Li Zhongcheng of the People's Liberation Army of Communist China. In that call, he said the following: "We are 100% steady. Everything is fine." And he assured the communist general that there would be no attack on China. Now, on the one hand, I have to say the whole story is absurd, because what attack on China? When did Donald Trump, in relation to January the 6th or any time, say that he's about to launch a nuclear attack against nuclear China? It's garbage! But Milley is the man who, remember, acted like a politician when he did a video apologizing for standing next to his commander-in-chief after he walked across Lafayette Square after days and days and days of rioting, hundreds of police officers injured, and the church of the president, St. John's Episcopal Church, was firebombed. Milley was ashamed of the restoration of order because Donald Trump was his commander-in-chief. So, with that fact pattern in mind, with his assertion that critical race theory is great, should be taught at West Point, I'm white and I want to know what white rage is, it is absolutely plausible that this man did what he did. And I have here, I'm out of time to read it. I'll read it in the next segment or later today. We have his two-page statement from his press secretary, from Milley's press secretary today, which is a non-denial. Non-denial! And Kirby has just said the following: "I'm not denying it happened. I'm just refusing to speak about it." That is treason. And if we lived in a republic of rule of law, Mark Milley would be in irons right now. He would be in handcuffs, in leg cuffs, and he would be paraded out of the Pentagon straight into a military holding cell in front of a court martial. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Stay with us here on America First.
Remarkable how the debate still continues. Is he compos mentis? Is he senile? Or is he just Sleepy Joe? Here's a reminder of a very, very peculiar story from the man who allegedly is the President of the United States, meeting the head of the Catholic Church, and how he behaved in front of the pontiff. A reminder of just how peculiar a man Joseph Robinette Biden truly is.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. He was a famous African-American baseball player in America. I know.
Afro-Americano, Afro-Americano.
And he didn't get to play.
Why are they whispering?
Baseball until he was 45 years old because he was black.
Non gli hanno permesso di giocare nella lega principale prima che aveva 45 anni perché era nero.
He was a pitcher.
E lui era un
That's very strange.
And usually pitchers lose their arm when they're 35.
In genere loro non guardano cominciato.
He pitched to win on his 47th birthday.
E invece,
the press walked in the locker room and said his name was Satchel Paige.
Si chiamava Satchel Paige. Allora gli irlandesi sono andati nello spogliatoio.
The commanding officer said, Satch, no one's ever pitched to win at age 47. How do you feel about pitching to win on your birthday?
E tutti hanno detto, nessuno c'è mai riuscito a fare questo a 47 anni. Come ti senti averlo fatto il giorno del tuo compleanno?
And he looked at me and said, boys, that's not how I look at age.
I'm sorry, what is it?
Boys, that's not how I look at age.
Ragazzi!
Ragazzi, non si guarda all'età.
I look at it this way. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
Quanto vecchio saresti se tu non sapessi quanto vecchio sei?
You're 65, I'm 60.
Let's go to our sports commentator for see. That was the best video I've seen in a long time. Sorry, guys, I'm just busting up. Jeff, can you give us the sports angle on that one, please? What's the fact check there?
He was 42, first of all, not 47.
Okay.
The story is kind of right, but it made zero sense.
But hang on a second. I know you're not Catholic, but you will be soon. Your wife's working on you. I'm a Catholic. If I went... Allegedly, he's a Catholic, right? Sleepy Creepy.
And that's the initial first thing he says to him.
Yeah, hang on a second. You're meeting the head of the Catholic Church. The biggest church in the world. The oldest church in the world. This is what you say?
I think he's thrilled he went 90 seconds telling a real story without going off the,
but
rails.
But did you see the Pope's face at the end?
Yes.
He was like, get me out of here.
Now you know why they didn't want the TV cameras there.
I'm sorry. I want to play that again and again and again. If anybody tells me he's such a nice, good president, he belongs in a loony bin.
No doubt about it. That brain is broke. Next here on Our America First Year in Review, we're going to have a one-on-one nobody's heard before, yes, with Paul Kengor, the origins of Black Lives Matter.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.